Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, I'm going to warn you at the very beginning, you're going to be carrying the bulk, if not all, of the show today.
Why?
I'm playing under severe disadvantages.
Wait a minute.
What's wrong?
Number one, well, Steve came to my rescue early this morning again. My glasses broke. You think when you pay $4.99 for a pair of glasses, they're going to last a long time?
Can I tell? So Wendy, I'm talking to Bill in his office, as we do. You know, we talk about you before you get in.
Yeah, no, I don't care.
And then he goes to take his glasses off, and like, if there are three pieces, one ear or the other ear, and then the front, only two of the pieces come off.
Yeah. And 5 minutes later, I said something isn't right.
I'm like, what's hanging from his ear?
Steve, though, always the gentleman, refuses to acknowledge it, just lets the conversation go on.
Why didn't you say something like, Bill, I think you got...
Why bother?
Didn't want to make him self-conscious.
Why bother?
Right.
Self-conscious, you wear those things like cockeyed every day.
Yeah. Did you ever think maybe the glasses are on properly, but my head is cockeyed? Because that's more accurate.
Well, I wear glasses, and one ear is always higher than the other, so yeah. I have to adjust it differently, but there's no excuse for you.
Mine are diagonal more times than not.
Yes, and that's not your, it's your
you're
fault.
You're supposed to wear, I've seen pictures of people wearing glasses, you're supposed to wear them straight on, but I, for some reason, I like the ability to have a glass there. I should wear a monocle is what I should wear. It's Mr. Peanut and me. We'll be the last guys on the planet wearing monocles.
You know, I tried a few years ago the pince-nez.
What is that?
Because the glasses in your headphones are, you know, always in your ears. So
yeah.
The pince-nez things are the ones that they just pinch on your the bridge of your
nose.
Oh,
that's stupid.
That's not stupid.
I look like an owl.
Well, I don't care.
Smart owl.
Or how about those magnet ones that magnet at the at your nose? My husband wears those.
I don't have a metal nose, though, Mary. They'd fall off all the time.
No. You wear them around your neck, and then you can just put them on, and they click together. Right?
Get those sports ones.
Haven't you seen those?
Horace Grant used to wear those, didn't he?
It's a full band around your head?
Yeah, like ski goggles.
That would be excellent.
Don't you think the pince-nez thing would be a good look if you could? But they wouldn't stay
on.
Quit
saying it, Mr. Europe.
I don't know if it's a Europe.
I always equate those with people who work in a bank, and I don't know why. Do people who work in a bank wear those more times than not?
And they have a pocket watch.
With the garters around their arms. Maybe,
yes. Right. Turn to the century bankers and me. Those will be the guys wearing those.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
First of all, I walked in and said, oh, my God, Bill, you look so handsome.
Yeah.
And he goes, Bertrand's glasses.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, just get a pair.
Go
to the dollar store and buy 10 of them.
It's not even price.
Yeah, but then you have backups.
Yeah, I should do that, right? I should. Because without them, honestly, I had the best eyesight for most of my life, and then it just, like, in a week, it just fell apart.
And you're the only one that's happened to.
I guess it happens to everybody. But I can't, I mean, I have to read stuff all during the show, and without glasses, it's just blurry. It's all it is blurry.
Aren't there extra reading glasses in the newsroom? Judy Pilate used to leave, like, 10 pairs.
Oh, did she?
Guys, here's an idea. Get your own.
Yeah, I know.
Why are you saying guys?
No, it's
guys
me.
Collectively.
Yeah. Not me.
Mary would get her own.
Yeah.
I know.
I gave him an extra pair.
Steve, because you're prepared.
So to the rescue. And it's not the first time he's done this for me.
No,
Steve.
Listen
Thank
to the
you.
Show every day.
But and why did it happen? Because Jasmine said, Steve, don't you have extras?
Right, Jasmine.
Because I forgot.
Is smart
don't
enough.
You have duct tape?
That's a good look.
There might be.
Come here.
I would get beat up by grade school kids on my way home if I put duct tape on my glasses.
Glad,
I know that.
I'm glad you're wearing mine, but I think it's time to take that fallen frame off.
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that.
This is such a crazy day to bring up that I had a dream about you last night.
Oh, boy.
Because now you're dorky.
What happened? I don't want to. No, you know what?
I want to tell you.
I don't.
How was he in the dream?
It was the craziest dream. He's looking away and grossed out. Don't be. It wasn't sexual because it was you in it.
I am definitely suing you. First for having a dream about me and second
that
for not being good.
Burn.
It was the greatest dream. I don't know why. I don't know where we were, but we were holding hands skipping, and we said, we have never gotten along better, which means we're probably going to get in a huge fight today.
Can I tell you something weird?
You
that was
did,
not a dream.
Yeah, you did that yesterday.
Yep, at the end of the show. You don't remember that?
It was like, honest to God, there were lollipops and stickers and butterflies, and we were
what
in a meadow.
What are you eating
and,
before you go to bed?
I didn't eat dinner last night.
All right.
So I must have been
really
hungry.
Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, and the legalization hasn't started yet. So
wow,
it was a fun dream. We were just like, God, we haven't gotten along better. The shows suck, but we're getting along really well.
And because of this, we held hands and skipped.
We skipped.
Did you have pigtails?
No, I didn't, but here's the thing. I kept up with you.
Oh, you
I wasn't
did?
A step behind you, like that, you always say.
That's excellent.
So oh, that to me was an that was
wow.
great.
That's an empowerment dream.
Yep. It all was right. fun. I woke up like smiling today. I'm like, I can't, how, why do you react like that?
Well, now, I wanted to tell you the other reason that I feel like I'm operating at a disadvantage today, but now I feel dirty. Now I feel okay. like I need to take a bath or something.
Well, how is that dirty?
It's not dirty.
Because
it's
someone
not.
Dreamed about you?
No, I'm fine with that.
You
and because I'm in, the good news is because I'm in Screen Actors Guild, I get a residual for this. I get money back on this.
I even made us a snack and you ate it. Dog hair and everything.
Wow, this is a big
no,
dream.
No, I'm kidding about that part.
No. Oh.
But you will eat anyone else's stuff that they bake, even yes. if they have like three cats and a
yes.
dog. Pete Zimmerman,
yeah.
they make cookies every year. You eat them. He and his wife, Molly, they have two dogs and a cat.
Pete told me his dog made the cookies and I still ate those. He goes, do you like the fur cookies? I go, yeah, where do you get fur cookies? My dog made them. They're delicious.
I am not a pariah.
No, you're not a fish. You're not a man-eating fish. I never said you were that. I don't just skip with anybody, Wendy.
I know. It was fun.
I don't just skip with anybody. All right, so here's the second part of why I feel at a disadvantage today.
All right.
At some point today, maybe during the show, but hopefully after the show, my pants are going to fall down.
Then I'm going to have another dream.
You forgot your suspenders?
I don't wear suspenders. But
Bertrand, do you have another belt?
I do need a belt because, honestly, this is a pair of pants I always, always, always wear with a belt. And for some reason, I just forgot to put one on. And then as I was walking from the parking lot to the station, my pants nearly fell down three different times. There's an extra 3 inches of give here, and it's not going to work
so
for the whole
day. So this is where he touts the fact that he's lost weight, and his pants are so big on
well,
him.
Well, they're bigger than they need to be.
So
they're perfect with a belt.
Shorts.
What I take from that is that sometimes you wear pants without a belt.
I have other pairs of pants that don't require a belt. Yes.
They look better with a belt. I don't like when people don't wear belts.
Right.
How do you forget to put a belt on?
The
Isn't
whole
it laying
outfit...
next to your $20 bill that your wife
no.
leaves for you?
She does leave my clothes out in the shape of a boy, so I know where everything goes. But the clothes I'm wearing right now was a last-second decision. I just, for some reason,
see what you're wearing.
I'm wearing this.
Yeah, I can't see that you put that right. together at the last minute.
So here's
no,
the
he
deal.
Looks actually really nice today.
Thank you.
It was the glasses, too,
so
that
Bill,
helped. But
if you put on suspenders and tape your glasses, you look like Urkel. You could have the Urkel look today.
I want you to
Did
be
I
the
do
new,
that?
I want you to be the new Urkel.
Yes, that's my dream. That's my dream.
Urkel, he'll
so
be
when
Urkel.
My pants do fall down, don't be surprised, is what I'm saying. Expect at some point today, my pants will fall down.
Walter Jacobson will look up. What was that? Oh, it's Bill's pants.
I don't want to startle Walter Jacobson.
So are they hanging down where your underpants are showing?
I have to walk.
That's
I have
street.
To walk with my hands in my pockets and like continuously hike them up so that they don't fall down.
Well, we're just relieved to know that's what you're doing.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. I'm going to be in your dream again.
No, you're not.
All right.
You're not.
All right.
You don't need to be.
Skip right. in with his pants falling
yep.
down.
Taped on glasses, suspenders. How could you not dream about me? It's impossible. All right. Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And then what? More stuff. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. If you want to reach us during the show, 312-981-7200 is both our call line and our text line. You can call us or text us at that number, 312-981-7200.
Your pants falling down because they're too big and you forgot to put a belt on remind me of, and I know you're going to think I'm lying and I'm not, I had an Uncle Albert.
We're so sorry.
And I was a pretty little kid, and I had a lot of great aunts and uncles,
yes.
so I went to a lot of funerals and wakes when I was little.
Yeah.
And I remember Uncle Albert was in a wheelchair, and they had taken him out of a nursing home or something to attend this funeral,
yeah.
and we were graveside, and he had a blanket wrapped around him. And for some reason, I don't know what happened, if he moved, but the blanket fell off, and we all got a glimpse of Uncle
Albert.
We're
so sorry. Wow, and that's
he laughed. It was pretty sweet because he was so embarrassed and he didn't know what else to do but just laugh.
And that's an image, really, that doesn't go away easily.
Yeah, I still remember.
Yeah, I bet. How many years later?
40
plus, 50 years, and
probably
it's indelible.
50, yeah.
It's never going to go away.
That wasn't in your dream with Bill last night, was it?
That's how it ended. Uncle Albert broke us up. No skipping in the halls. Sorry, Uncle Albert. May I share a strange billboard that I saw today? I didn't know there was a campaign for Berwyn tourism until this morning. Did you? Were you aware of this?
No. I lived in Berwyn for a year.
There's a billboard. Now, I don't know how many billboards. I don't know if this is their entire campaign. My hope is that there's more than just the one billboard, because I don't know that that could get it done. But it's a picture of a guy kind of in a bar-type setting.
That's Berwyn.
Enjoying a drink. I know.
I love it.
I shouldn't have even told you it was Berwyn. I should have said, guess where they're trying to get you to visit based on this. It's a guy sitting in a bar enjoying a drink. It says the words at the top, why Berwyn? ? Which is a good question. And then it says, Berwyn full of characters.
True.
Which again.
Svengoolie.
Svengoolie, great example. It's true. But it's curious to me because it was in Wrigleyville, or right around Wrigleyville, maybe just a little bit south of Wrigleyville. So I'm trying to put together the thought process. Are they getting people to go there for a night? You wouldn't vacation.
Well, Fitzgerald's
in
is in Berwyn, so that's a great music venue. There's the Wire. There's a lot of places where live music is.
Oh, Berwyn's got stuff.
There's
no doubt about it.
There's the Hobie Parade that happens annually.
The what parade?
The Hobie Parade.
I don't know what that is.
Yes, you do. Aren't you? Or I guess you're not part Bohemian. Isn't that a mushroom?
I don't know. Are they indigenous to Berwyn?
I don't know. There's a lot of Bohemian people that live in Berwyn.
Oh.
It's the Hobie capital of the world.
Oh, I didn't know that. Maybe I will vacation there now.
They did have the car kebab for a while, but that was taken down.
That's gone. That's sadly.
I think they're undergoing a little resurgence, aren't they, Berwyn?
I think they are.
Yeah.
And certainly if they're putting together an ad campaign, that would indicate exactly that, right, Steve, that they're doing their best to get people you know, who are not that far away to come and visit. But it just, like, the whole thing was very interesting to me. Do other towns do that? Do they sprinkle billboards in places that are just a little bit farther away to
if they have something to offer?
Yeah, I was glad to see it. It's been. Oh, people are applauding for some reason.
No, they're not hearing that.
Oh, just me. I only heard that.
I'm trying. There's a Kathy Richardson song that's actually called Berwyn, and I was trying to cue it up.
All right.
Because she's from Berwyn. Svengoolie's from Berwyn, and honestly, Fitzgerald's has so many great bands that show up.
Yeah.
Just that alone would be worth it.
It was in such an area that you would think. Oh, the people in the area would say, well, everything they're trying to sell me in that billboard, we have right here. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know how you see, you'll see billboards for other countries and you go, wow, we don't have anything like that in our country. I've got to go to Norway and see what that looks like. It's just a weird thing for me.
Although you said it was near the Cubs game?
Fairly near Wrigley. Yeah, 10 minutes from Wrigley,
well,
I'd say.
People go to Wrigley from all over the place, so now maybe they'll go visit Berwyn.
On their way back.
Because
they
have interesting characters there.
Make it a 1-2 punch. They don't even say interesting characters. They just say characters.
Well, it's probably pretty affordable. It's a close-in suburb.
Right.
You know, people living in the city looking to move out.
Right. All right, I'm going there.
Route 66 goes through Berwyn?
Yes, it does. So if this billboard played music, it didn't, but if the billboard played music, I would hope that they would go with Kathy Richardson's song.
I love this song.
Sums it up.
I lived in Berwyn for 1 year, grew up in Brookfield, moved away for 1 year, and then I was living in a two-flat, and the woman who lived above me forged my name and tried to open a bunch of credit cards in my name.
Wow.
And she didn't like me for some reason. I was never there. I was working overnight at the Loop, so I really wasn't there keeping her awake.
Uh-huh.
And I called the police, and she just said to them, yeah, I did it. I just don't like her. So needless to say, I only lived there 1 year. I didn't even try to get her to like me. So you know how I usually do that?
That's how bad this situation was. So if Berwyn calls you and says, we need some local color stories, would you share that story? Would you go, yeah, I got a story about Berwyn I can share with you. Absolutely.
Harlem Avenue Lounge is in Berwyn. They have great blues there. Berwyn's Toys and Trains, that if you're into Thomas the Tank Engine.
When I visited their website, this is how effective. I mean, honestly, I'm not making fun of the ad at all. I thought it was just interesting that, you know, what is that, a half an hour away? They're like, well, let's throw a billboard up there. Maybe we'll get some action out of the Wrigley people. I went to their website today to see if I imagined this ad campaign, but no. Berwyn's, you know, they're firing at all cylinders. And one of the pictures that they show you a montage of pictures of Berwyn. They show this giant HO train scale layout. I didn't know what it was exactly, but it was very impressive.
We spent a lot of time there. Michael's 20 now, but when he was little, he was so into Thomas the Tank Engine. Mm-hmm. And you could go there and they had all the Thomas the Tank Engine things. But then in the back room, like for all you train buffs, oh my God, it was the coolest thing all set up with little lights and villages.
That's excellent.
It's notorious.
All right, I'm known very well.
There's a Route 66 museum in Berwyn, which I didn't know was there. And Al has an idea of why they're billboarding. Hi, Al.
How are you?
What do you know about this, Al?
About 7 or 8 years ago, I was actually on part of the committee where we were trying to build a program to bring the young millennials out to Berwyn. They could work downtown if they wanted to. They could just hop on the L and be in Berwyn in minutes. And they had, in fact, the original billboards that we did were a great big target, and the target showed down to the loop, and then it showed a little line showing the bungalows of Berwyn. It showed some of the restaurants of Berwyn. You know, Berwyn has a theater that was on 16th Street. It just moved to Harlem Avenue in a brand new building. So there's lots of things to do in Berwyn, and the philosophy is that people, instead of paying the high rent downtown, can own a home and live in a quiet community.
Berwyn's pretty
nice.
Very nice,
yeah. Oh, good. All right.
Yeah, so they're still looking, I guess, to build it. They don't have as many billboards. At one time, I think we may have had 9 or 10 billboards. I think down to 3 now.
Oh.
But they're targeting because they're pretty expensive to have a billboard.
Sure.
So what they're doing is targeting markets where they think they're going to attract greater number of people. And if you go to Wrigleyville area, you're going to always get lots of people, even if they're not going to a ball game. They're going to the bars. They're hanging around.
Right.
And bars in Berwyn go together, too.
Well, it piqued my interest, so they're doing something right. It got my attention right away.
Al, thank you very much. And don't forget, Jim Peterick is from Berwyn
as
well. Ba-da-ba-ba-da.
Yes, he is. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a whole lot more coming up, including the truth behind Snopes, the website that tells you what is and what isn't true. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Lies, they're out there. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and I have to tell you, in this day and age, whenever I see something in the news that I don't know to be true, the first place I go is to Snopes.com. Bill, would you say you do that as well?
Yeah, all the time.
David Mickelson is on the line with us, founder and executive editor of Snopes.com. I imagine you're a busy man these days, David.
Well, yes, that would be fair to say. We've been busy for quite a few years now.
Picking up my headphones.
That is my go-to place, and a lot of people do this. A lot of fake news out there, and a lot of real news that people are calling fake. So we go to Snopes.com. What are some of the biggest topics and stories that you're covering right now?
Oh, well, of course. Given that President Trump is on a state visit to the UK, of course, there's a whole lot of, rumors and contested stories stemming from that. You know, everything from, the relative size of crowds of supporters and protesters who have been out to greet or jeer him, to, whether the Queen is legally allowed to kill him with a sword.
Yep.
There are some crazy things. Has there been an uptick in traffic since President Donald Trump has taken office?
Yes, usually, since I've been doing this for, the close to 25 years now, typically we'd see a pattern where, of course, traffic really ramps up leading into a presidential election and then, you know, kind of plummets afterwards. And with the last election, that really never happened. It was just so many people didn't think Donald Trump was going to win that after the election, you know, just traffic even shot up even more. You know, people worrying, oh my gosh, is he going to do everything he said he could do? You know, can he do everything he said he was going to do? You know, I naively got married a couple days before the election because we were thinking, nah, a couple days, stuff will go back to normal.
And when will that happen, David? Is that ever going to happen again? David, how did all this start? How did Snopes first begin?
Well, I mean, many years ago, you know, back in the mid-1980s, I was working for a very large computer company. So I was kind of, you know, connected to the internet before most people had ever heard of the internet. And, you know, I was sort of pursuing my interests in subjects like Disney and urban legends. And kind of when the first web browser came out, I started writing up little articles about Disney related legends. You know, was Walt really frozen when he died? Is there really a basketball court in the Matterhorn at Disneyland?
And there is, by the way, right?
Well, at least there was. I'm not sure if it's still there, but you know, just kind of such an early adopter of the internet, you know, before search engines existed even, that it, you know, what I was trying to do, you know, kind of took a left turn when everybody just started sending us anything questionable they came across on the internet to ask, is this true? And, you know, it kind of, through a long process of evolution, went from being like an urban legends encyclopedia to being this, you know, company that employs multiple people to do fact checks of, you know, largely political material at the moment.
How does it feel? It must feel, I'm just guessing, but it must feel so good to know that you are one of the most trusted sources, that even when people disagree about something, the thing they can't agree on is if it says it's true or it's false on Snopes, it must be true or false.
Yeah, I continue to be both amazed and humbled that, you know, that something I started as a hobby, you know, and not even as from a journalism background, I was a computer science major, that, you know, it's just turned into something that's, I mean, both an element of popular culture and, you know, this vitally, you know, important piece of the journalism world. You know, I and a business to boot. I mean, I had none of those things, you know, in mind when I started it long ago.
David Mickelson is on the line with us, founder and executive editor of Snopes.com. What happened to Ask Jeeves? Did you take them down?
Well, no. many search engines have gone by the wayside. Nothing to do with us.
And where did the name Snopes come from?
It's from a family of characters and the works of William Faulkner, which has absolutely nothing to do with what we do. It just, you know, long ago when I first started on the internet, I thought I needed something, a name to use that was more memorable than David. Just kind of adopted Snopes as a nom de net, and it's worked out kind of fortuitously. It's something like Google or Amazon. It has nothing to do with what we do, but it's short, it's catchy, it distinguishes us from a number of other similar sites that all have, you know, fact or check or something in their name, you know.
David, can you even guess how many cases you guys have solved over the years? Is that even a possibility to even imagine how many?
Well, I mean, I know we have tens of thousands of articles. I'm not sure how much we've actually solved in the eyes of the public, because, you know, there's some people that, you know, just won't be convinced by any amount of evidence out of something they really want to believe.
What have been, can you think of one or two that have been really, really tough to figure out, where it's so gray that you can't definitively say true or false on any of these?
I don't know if I can think of a specific example. I mean, we get into our fair share of things that just kind of devolve into, you know, he said, she said, or they said, you know, kinds of stories, and you can't really do much more with it. Or, you know, if there's something that hinges on what somebody's state of mind was, or
right.
you know, requires access to top secret classified documents to verify, you know,
yeah.
you can't really do it. You know?
A lot of times you search something and you'll get either true or false or partially true, and then just yeah. the facts are reported on Snopes.com. Really and truly, David, this is the only site that I check when I'm unsure of a fact that I see floating around on the internet.
Oh, well, great. Well, thank you.
So, what
use you and 10 million more like you.
Speaking of 10 million more like me, how many fact checkers do you have? I bet you have a lot of people working on this every day.
Well, yeah, probably fewer than most people think.
Really?
No, right now, our staff is 15, but of course, not all of them are, you know, fact checkers. I mean, it's kind of like 15 people, 9 of them are on the editorial side as, you know, writers or editors, and, you know, the remainder are kind of, you know, support and technical staff.
David,
you know,
how
We don't, as people envision us, we don't have like a large headquarters full of people anywhere. You know, we have no office. We're a virtual organization. You know, people work from wherever they are.
How do you handle the questions that are almost unanswerable? Like, is there a God? Is there life after death? Are there alien beings? Why was Two Broke Girls on for 5 years?
How
do you deal with those?
Yeah, well, we don't really tackle those. I mean, certain things like, you know, the supernatural, paranormal, it's really kind of just a matter of belief. You can't really address it in any, you know, objective way.
Sure.
We kind of maybe on the fringes of that, if somebody's got a photograph they're claiming shows a ghost, and,
yeah.
you know, we can show that it's a manipulated photo, then we'll do it. But the greater existential question of whether there's life after death, no, we're not going after that.
Right.
You can go to Snopes.com to get all your questions answered, and I kind of wish you would, people, because just because you see something on the internet doesn't necessarily mean it's true. David Mickelson is on the line with us, the founder and executive editor. Now, someone's suing you guys. There's a lawsuit going on. Why don't you tell us about this?
Well, I guess suppose our side of the story is that we were previously contracted with a company called Proper Media to provide web development and advertising services for the Snopes website. And the company's position is that Proper Media and its owners unlawfully withheld, embezzled, misappropriated, and used millions of dollars in advertising revenue that belonged to Snopes. And so we've been in litigation for over 2 years now trying to recover that money and to secure compensation for damages. That's unfortunately, you know, in our legal system, it really takes a long time to actually bring a civil case to trial. So, you know, we've been at it for 2 years, and it's, you know,
sure.
it's going to drag on a fair bit longer.
Yeah.
Some of the top stories on the Hot 50 on Snopes.com right now. Will Woody be openly bisexual in Toy Story 4? These are some things you can check out.
Wow.
Did Henry the Fonz Winkler die at age 77? Who thought Fonzie was dead?
I don't know that one at all.
Did Prince Philip refer to Melania Trump as Stormy?
Yeah.
Just some great things that are out there. Did the White House ask the Navy to keep the USS John S. McCain out of sight for Trump's visit?
That's a good one.
I bet there's a lot of traffic on that one. What's the answer to that?
Well, it seems, I think the evidence is unproven. It seems, you know, the evidence indicates somebody did ask that, but the details are kind of fuzzy still about, you know, who exactly made that request of the Navy, you know, and why. We're not yet ready to say definitively, yes, the White House ordered this, because even though the Navy kind of acknowledged it, they were really circumspect about revealing who asked that. So,
David, I bet there's stories like that one that you guys have to keep an eye on 24 hours a day, because there could be new information constantly coming out. You must have had some entries that had to be changed once or twice, I'd imagine, huh?
Yeah, it happens, of course, as more information becomes available, something that we, you know, couldn't put a definitive ruling on. You know, we may be able to move it into the true or false column. Sometimes just what aspect of a story people are focusing on changes. Right. And so we kind of need to address this, revamp the story to address what it is, you know, that people are keying on,
I want to put an end to the discussion. There is a picture of a plant going around Facebook, and it looks a little phallic-like, and it really looks fake, but that is indeed a true image of a plant with phallic-looking structures. It's a genuine botanical specimen. So now I can sleep at night.
With a smile on your face.
Shut up, Bill.
It's one of those stories that has real hard-hitting, real-world impact.
Sure.
But that's what I love about Snopes. It's goofy stuff like this and legitimate stuff that you'd like to know the answer. So I think you're doing a great job with this, David.
Well, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to meet you. And really, listeners, if you're in doubt about anything, the only place I go is Snopes.com. I have not found them to be wrong yet, and they will tell you the truth. It's either true, false, partially true. You guys are doing a great job. Founder and executive editor of Snopes.com, David Mickelson. So nice to meet you.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Take care, David. We appreciate it. David Mickelson, of course, of Snopes, Snopes.com. We'll take a quick break and then return. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, I just visited Snopes.com. You just said you had strawberry Yoplait. Snopes says you had boysenberry Dannon. Who's telling the truth?
I am.
Interesting.
You know, Bill was talking earlier today about not wearing a belt, and his pants are a little loose, and they may have fallen down.
They will fall down.
And I showed you the picture of the plant.
Yes.
You haven't seen it? It's been all over social media.
No. I'm afraid to look at it.
Maybe I follow some...
you're on different websites than I am, obviously. Obviously.
Well, that's a real plant, people.
Yeah.
See why I like to garden?
Now I understand. Mommy's still out in the garden. She hasn't
been
in since Wednesday. there's some confusion on the stream right now, Wendy. We're getting a lot of texts from people saying they're trying to listen to you and me on the stream. They're hearing Patty Vasquez on the stream instead of you and me. We're trying to figure that out, or we know what's wrong. Do we know?
Actually, that's me doing my imitation.
Oh, are you doing that, Steve? Thank you.
I don't know what's going on. There are two streams. Does one of them have WGN Radio? What's happening right now on 7:20 a.m.?
We think so.
One of them, I don't know.
We're being told we think so.
At 11:30, it's White Sox baseball.
Right, and then you can hear us on the stream or Mike McConnell. We don't know. Just tune in at 11:30 and find out.
He was the first to go to the stream.
Yes, he was.
He was?
Yes, he was.
Punishment. They're not punishment, but they just were.
He was the...
See, but back then you went to the stream on GN, and then you got fired.
Yeah.
So far. Knock on for Micah.
That's why I don't answer my internal emails.
Well, now you have to.
Now I have to. Did you see, we were talking earlier in the show about tourism in the Berwyn area. Did you see what television show is trying to get more tourism because of their program?
I'm sorry, I was getting talked to. I didn't hear. What is getting more?
It's a TV show that you wouldn't think, like when people watch the show, you wouldn't think, oh, this will equal tourism, but apparently I'm wrong. HBO was having a big hit with people visiting Croatia and Northern Ireland because of Game of Thrones. They would watch Game of Thrones, and they would say, oh, that looks beautiful, where all those dragons are, and I'm going to go there. And then they would visit Croatia or Northern Ireland. Now, the same thing is happening with Chernobyl.
Oh, my God. Have you watched it yet?
I've not seen it yet.
I have tried to find it. It's on HBO, and I thought they'd have back episodes on demand. They don't.
And they don't?
And I can only find one on HBO that, it's a long story, but I have HBO. I don't have it through Amazon Prime, so I can't watch them all.
Yeah.
I am dying to see this.
Yeah, it looks good. Everyone I know who sees it likes it a lot.
But does anyone you know who's seen it want to go there?
No, just the opposite. Just the opposite.
I don't think you can go there, can you?
Well, you can go. What country was it in?
In Russia.
What city,
and
I guess?
I'm sorry. It's the Ukrainian city of Pripyat. Pripwat. The Ukrainian ghost city of Pripyat is getting a lot of interest all of a sudden. Reuters reports that the town saw roughly 70,000 visitors last year, but bookings right now are up 40% thanks to showings of Chernobyl on HBO.
Who wants to go there?
Well, especially if you know the story or you're watching the story for the first time on this HBO series, it's not pleasant, you know, but somehow it's working. I'm curious why, but it is. It's working.
Is it still radioactive over there?
I don't know the answer to that.
I'm trying to... God, where's Snopes? I closed the
Although they're calling it a ghost city, a Ukrainian ghost city, so I'm guessing there must be some kind of undertones of that, right?
Yes, I would think so.
There are a number of day trips available to the site. Bertrand travel, by the way.
Yeah, good, because Southwest doesn't go there. I just checked.
They'll check you in.
But?
We won't check you
out. No, that's the downside of that.
Glowing reviews.
Glowing reviews.
That's bad.
Oh, Wendy. All right,
In myself.
We'll take a break. We'll get you some news, more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. He is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Thank you so much, Mr. Bertrand. You are not doing the Wintrust Business Lunch today, so are you going to hang with us for the next 20 minutes?
I'm going to hang for a while, and then Eric Rung's going to be in for the hangout with you on the stream.
All right.
All right, and we're going to WGN Extra, the stream at 11:30, and on 7:20 a.m., White Sox baseball.
Yep.
And very, very good to me. There's a text that came over, and I have to be honest with you, I tuned out of the details this morning. I heard Steve Grzanich talking about this farm in Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
And some cruelty to animal situations. Mm-hmm. Steve, I didn't hear your last report. Did you do something about this?
It was about what?
About the Fair Oaks farm in Indiana.
Oh, I haven't done it. It was done earlier today, yes.
Okay, because someone just texted now, and I did hear Grzanich talking about it. But I didn't want to hear the gross details, so I kind of tuned out.
It's pretty gruesome.
And somebody was saying, they texted us, 815, I understand you have to report the news, but can you leave out some of the brutal details? Our family just stayed there overnight 2 weeks ago and really had a great time. The kids were in the car and heard about what some awful people did to some cows and calves. They started asking questions. They're 5 and 3, hard to believe, and explain to them when they were just there visiting the farm.
Yes.
But you can't
edit the news
for kids
in case kids might be listening.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's a tough one. Steve, how do you make a decision like that when you see a story? And a lot of times the stories have bad consequences for humans, not just animals, farm animals. But how do you make a decision on how much to divulge in a story?
I don't get very specific sometimes.
No.
Now, Grzanich is a huge animal lover, and he's horrified, as most people are.
We don't know specifically what she was talking about either, so we don't know what newscast that's been around.
Yeah, I don't know. It just came over at 11:01.
It's an interesting story because it's a very forward-thinking farm.
Yeah.
In
what way? How do you mean that?
The
treatment of their animals, you mean?
I don't know about that. I mean, clearly they fired these workers, so they're not disputing that this happened, apparently. But
yeah.
They funnel or they capture all the methane from the waste there, and they fuel their trucks.
Oh.
They've got fueling stations along the routes where all their trucks run on the methane from cow manure.
Wow.
Beep, beep.
Yeah. No, so...
That's genius.
Well, it's forward thinking.
Yeah.
And, you know, my kids have been there with my parents many times. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I was really surprised to see this story this morning. It contradicts.
I think the owners were surprised to hear this, too.
Well, it seems like it, yeah.
Do we know, Steve, the workers that were responsible for the mistreatment of animals, were they fired a while ago or just upon the story's release? Do we know that?
I don't know the answer to that, Steve.
And so that's the question, too. Have the employees there been fired or arrested yet? Please don't tell me they've just been let go. Isn't that a federal case, abusing animals? And that's my question, too. That's a federal offense to abuse, animal cruelty laws.
Right. The tougher part of this is exactly what you brought up at the very beginning, though. How do you make a decision if you're putting together the news? if it's pertinent to the story, because if you just reported that there was animal mistreatment, I guess that's enough information.
Yeah.
But to really sell the story and how awful it is, you almost have to give an example or two. And Steve did this morning, which
Steve Grzanich yes.
did. Which makes the story, I think, to the listener, more understandable. But again, I get it. There could always be a child listening, kids listening.
But even not just children. I mean, I freak out hearing cruelty to animal things. So I actually turned the radio down for a minute during that story. So,
but haven't you heard stories that involve, I mean, there have been stories recently in the news
that are heinous, yes.
Yeah, the outcome is horrible. And
I'm thinking of the one young
with
woman.
The baby.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the same one.
Okay, and some, I mean, again, I know you're reporting the story, but I feel like there was maybe sometimes too much information.
Do you, yeah?
I don't know, or it was worded. I don't know, because I'm a sensitive viewer for some, or listener for some things. I really am.
But don't you kind of, even though the subject matter is awful, don't you almost have to give some of the story, the story involved to really sell what how important the story is?
Yeah, but then you do an in-depth version of the story where all the details, because there are people, and I may want to go seek it out on my own and find out all the details.
Right.
I'm reading the stories that were run this morning, and well, they are disturbing. I don't think that they are especially graphic.
But Steve, if you were driving in a car with a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, I think
yeah,
the text
but I mean
said,
that's life.
Right, right.
3-year-olds and 5-year-olds know much more than we did when we were 3 and 5.
Well, let me tell you another version of this though. The phrase I will never use is, I don't like the phrase "shot in the head."
Yeah,
you know, I just feel like that's gratuitous. So I will say "fatally shot" or something like
that. Yeah.
But if we're not going to be, if we're, you know, not overly worried about a 6-year-old hearing of someone, you know, shot in the head.
Right.
I don't think, you know.
And that's your own choice.
The words they used here about the damage or the cruelty to the calves, I don't think is worse than that.
If I can, I want to get back to something, Wendy, that you brought up a little while ago about a child and how much access he or she has to the news. I do remember as a kid, I know this seems strange, but I loved watching the news, even though I was younger.
You are a unique individual.
I know that the news is not built for 4 and 5 and 6-year-olds, but at 4 and 5 and 6, when the nightly news came on, I was watching it every night.
You know why you watched the 10 o'clock news? Because you were waiting for Johnny Carson.
Yeah, that's an easier one. That's an easier one to solve. But I did watch the news on a nightly basis. The difference was that there weren't cable news channels and the news was presented, because it was network or local, in a more, I don't want to say friendly way, but a more, a slightly gentler way. Than
Less details,
yeah,
I think.
The details were not as graphic as they are now. I don't think as a little kid, if there was the cable news outlets, I doubt that my parents would have allowed that to be a thing. But at the time when it was delivered on local or network, I don't remember ever hearing anything as a child or seeing anything that disturbed me for weeks or months or years to come.
Although this is stupid to say, but crimes have gotten worse and more involved, and maybe that's not true. We're just hearing about it more than it did back then.
It is not true.
I know.
I remember distinctly the Manson situation, the Charles Manson family story when I was a kid. And yeah, it scared everybody when you would hear about what was going on. But, you know, my parents would say this is an isolated incident and it's very far away. It's not the kind of thing you'd have to worry about. So I'm sure now if it was on a cable channel, there you would get a lot more details and you probably want to be careful of who's watching or listening. But at the time, it just seemed very normal to watch the news. I didn't know other kids weren't also watching the news.
Well, you could also, when you hear something coming as a parent, just turn it down. I turned it down because I didn't want to hear the details.
Oh, yeah, that's always an option.
And it's not just kids. I mean, there are people who are more sensitive.
Sure.
I know people don't ever believe I'm sensitive.
But you are.
Sometimes I am. I have a marshmallow center.
Very sensitive. Very sensitive. Your thoughts on this? We're at 312-981-7200. Let us know what you think. Give us a call or a text. We would love to hear from you. So just so I understand, what we call the bonus hour also has like a bonus half hour. It's almost like Russian nesting dolls on the radio.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be a part of that.
Yeah, me too.
7:20 a.m., you will hear White Sox baseball. And then we will go over to the stream, one of them. Find us. We'll there are three.
Out. Yeah. Here's a text, Wendy. We were just talking about a listener texted in saying they would prefer that when delivering stories of a graphic nature that some of the details be left out. Right? Is that a fair assessment? What am I leaving out of that? Anything?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we all can't have the news delivered the way we would like it to.
Right. Here's a text. Yeah, without a doubt. Here's a text from 773. They say, I am 47 years old. My memories of the news when I was young were John Wayne Gacy and Jonestown. So about when I was seven, and I have been a news junkie ever since. When you're a kid, if you're anywhere near a TV or a radio or a newspaper or now the internet, you're going to see stuff that's a little dicey, right?
But yeah, and I guess in this time, if you want more details, you can seek it out yourself.
True.
I didn't hear Steve Grzanich's report. Steve Bertrand checked it, and it was not really... I mean, it's a bad story, bottom line, but it's not like there was gratuitous...
Right.
Graphic stuff
incredible
thrown in there.
Detail, yeah. Right. But it was enough to, when you were listening, to go, oh, what happened there was horrible, so he pulled that off. But again, I can understand if you're the parent of a young child, I understand your concern.
And we need to speak up for animals because they can't speak up for themselves.
Right.
So,
Another thing, yesterday we talked at great length about the changing of the guard over on Jeopardy as James or Jamie Holzhauer's incredible run of 32 games ended. He was upseated by a local librarian, a woman named Emma. I don't remember the last name. Did you still watch yesterday?
I did.
And what were your thoughts?
They don't know anything about music. That was
yesterday.
There was a category.
There was a music category that the contestants did not do well in. Any of the three of them did.
And it was like a sailing category. I don't remember it specifically, but it was like, who wrote the song Sailing Takes Me Away?
Or Ann Arthur's theme.
Yes.
They mentioned that somehow.
Yes. And The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Who doesn't know that's Gordon Lightfoot?
Right.
That one shocked me.
Yeah, that was not, that didn't go over. Now, there was a key moment on the show yesterday, and I want to see if you caught it as well. Emma, the new champion, the one who obseded James or Jamie, she got one of the Daily Doubles, and she bet it all, and Alex said something to the effect of, oh, you're taking James's strategy, and she made a really strange face. She went like, meh. Like that with her face. Did you see that?
Yes, but did you watch the very beginning when he said, you know, you were coming here against the returning champ for 30-some days?
Yeah.
Were you nervous? And she looked like she didn't have an answer, so he kept talking and say, or did you believe in yourself?
Right.
And she's like, yeah, I was confident.
Well, all right, I read into that a little bit, and evidently, you know, because they tape these things a couple of months in advance, right, a month and a half to 2 months in advance. She says she didn't really understand that he had been winning and winning and winning because this happened prior to him winning and winning and winning.
Right.
So when that question was asked of her, she really didn't have that much background on him, like we all do. Because we know he won for over a month in a row, but she didn't really understand that he was already legendary. So maybe that worked to her advantage. You know, if you know you're going up against one of the best that ever played the game, you get a little nervous. But she didn't really have that because she knew he was good, but not that good.
Yeah, but at the beginning he said.
Yeah, he gave the totals and stuff, but she didn't have time to really analyze. Like she hadn't been like you and I have been watching it almost every day for the last month. She didn't have that. She didn't know that no matter what they threw at this guy, he seemed to be able to handle it.
I guess. And is it Emma Betcher?
Yes.
She's very bright.
No question.
They all were. It was kind of an interesting group yesterday. But again, if you just tune in for anything, watch after the first round of Jeopardy when Alex talks to these people. It's so
for the funny anecdote.
Never funny on either side. Even his. At one point, he asked the dude who was playing yesterday. I don't remember his name, but asked him a question about playing flamenco guitar, and then Alex just went.
He bailed on it,
and then just walked away.
I never saw a guy bail on it. Like he, I was surprised he just didn't go. Oh, boring.
Oh my god, it was
on.
So funny.
Yeah,
But congratulations to Emma. What did I say her name was? Betcher.
Mm-hmm.
Very bright. She played an interesting game. There was a Final Jeopardy where I guess she didn't think she was going to get it because she wagered
zero, right?
A big fat goose egg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very strange. All right. We'll take a quick break. Wendy and I are headed toward the stream for not just the bonus hour, but the bonus 90 minutes. But White Sox baseball is coming here, so you have your option. Pick and choose wisely.